Now it's time for scripture. Since Chris isn't here, I can read it. Today's scripture is taken from the books of Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. And it reads, "Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' He asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' The reply came, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and through his eyes were open. He could see nothing, so they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So think about the people in your lives, classmates, a co-worker, a neighbor, an acquaintance, a longtime friend, or even a family member. We all know someone in our lives who need Jesus Christ, someone who might be struggling with something in their life, someone who is always making the wrong choices, someone who just does not know what a relationship with God is and how wonderful it can be to have a relationship with God. We all know someone, a coworker, a classmate, a family member, a neighbor, a longtime friend. We all know someone. And I want to continue to talk about personal evangelism and how we can reach out one-on-one to that person that we know. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that they speak your truth, that they show your will as we learn in Scripture. And Lord, I ask that you know the meditations we have on our hearts, that these meditations reflect your call for us, and that we continue to be your faithful sons and daughters. In your son's name, amen. So we have been talking about personal evangelism, and if you see on the back of your worship bulletin, you're reminded of the things about personal evangelism. Personal evangelism is when we evangelize one-on-one with a person. We have a relationship with that person, and we want to help that person understand how wonderful the good news of Jesus Christ is and how we can help that person lead them to surrender their life to God. If you think about someone, and I'll give you maybe just 15 seconds, and it shouldn't even take that long, but you know someone in your life, a friend, a coworker, a classmate, a neighbor, a longtime acquaintance, or even a loved one. You do know someone. So I invite you now, or I even challenge you now, in maybe just these 15 seconds, to think of one person, someone you know that needs God in their life. Think about that. Okay, so hopefully you've been able to think about someone, and maybe that person will be someone that as you hear the message today, you can apply it to that person. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to go over those steps of personal evangelism. In the previous weeks, we talked about what you need to accomplish those steps. You need discipline, you need unbreakable faith, you need to have a heart for the Lord. When you are disciplined, you know the goal at the end of the tunnel, and you do all you can do or need to do to reach that goal. You are disciplined about your faith. When you have unbreakable faith, when you encounter roadblocks towards that goal, when you have people who disagree with you, people who reject you, or you even wonder if you're doing the right thing, you have unbreakable faith that tells you you are doing the right thing, that tells you that you are following God's call for you. And when you have a heart for the Lord, then you put the Lord first in your life. You love Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and you want to share that love with everyone. You need to have these, the discipline, the unbreakable faith, and the heart for the Lord as you challenge or take each step of personal evangelism. Each step is, one, telling the active telling of the activity of God in your life. Two, listening to the spiritual needs of your friend. Three, regularly praying for your friend. Four, sharing the gospel. And five, leading them to the desire to surrender one's life for Him. And this morning I'm going to talk about that first step of personal evangelism. As you think about that person in your life who you know needs the love of God in their life, who needs to surrender themselves and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, think about that first step of actively telling them about the activity of God in your life. In this phrase, the active telling of the activity of God in your life, there are two really important words. The first word is active, and the second word is activity. For the first word, active, we must be active. We must always be telling that person we know about how wonderful God is in our lives. We cannot be passive. One way to think about that is this phrase I once read, that we as humans must learn to communicate with each other. We must not take for granted or think that we are roses. Humans are not roses. So now you might wonder, well, what does she mean? Of course we're not roses. We all know what a rose is, right? Who raise your hand if you like red roses? Or raise your hand if you like yellow roses or white roses? Roses, they do this really unique thing. They communicate a message. They actually talk without talking. Now, what I mean by that is roses, usually the color of a rose can represent someone. A red rose, what does that represent usually? Love, right? Valentine's Day is coming up. I'm sure the sales of red roses will increase. A yellow rose often represents friendship. You give a yellow rose to someone that you want to show support for, or that you say, you are my friend, here is a yellow rose. A white rose is sometimes used to convey sympathy or connection. We have white roses at funeral services. We also have white roses to celebrate purity at weddings. The color of a rose communicates something, but yet a rose never talks. If I had a rose right here next to the communion elements, it wouldn't magically begin talking to us, right? But yet the color of the rose conveys a message. It, in a way, talks to you. And also when the rose is given at a certain occasion, it also conveys a message. You can give roses to someone in sympathy at a funeral service. A person who is dating someone and wants to show that person their affection can deliver to them a dozen roses to show that they really like that person or are in love with that person. Maybe a husband, if they've done something wrong and want to make it up to their wife, will have roses delivered to her office or to the home, right? Maybe that's something we do. But roses will convey a message, asking for forgiveness, showing sympathy, showing love. Roses do all these things without even talking. But human beings, we are not roses. We cannot just put on a red shirt and then stand in front of someone and expect that person to know it means we love them. We can't just attend a funeral service and silently look at the person who has just lost a loved one. We need to verbally say something. We are not roses. We must be active. We must communicate. So the first step of personal evangelism, to be active in telling of the activity of God in your life, we are reminded we must be active in the telling of God in our life. We cannot be silent. We are not roses. We must speak the message. We must share about God in our lives. And you all can do that. It's simple. If you remember last Sunday for the offering, I encouraged people on pieces of paper to write down blessings in their life or things they are thankful for God for or the way that God has helped them in their life. And I have over 40 pieces of paper of people writing things down. Some people put one or two things. Some people even put eight or more things. And I love this one. Someone, maybe a child or maybe an adult, drew two faces. One's a larger face and it's got some speckles, so maybe some 5 o'clock shadow. And then there's another smaller face next to it. Maybe it's a child and the parent. But even someone expressed what they are thankful for to God in drawing. You can tell, or you can be active about telling about God in your life. You did it simply last Sunday, so now what it is to do, the challenge, is to be active in telling of this, to tell the person, you know, I wrote on this piece of paper in church one Sunday that I'm so thankful that God was in my life when I had a hard situation at work and a coworker helped me. Or I'm so thankful in my life for my spouse that supports me or takes care of me when I'm ill. Or I'm so thankful in my life that God gives me a church family that prays for me when I'm dealing with hard times. You need to be actively telling about the activity of God in your life. In the passage from Act 14, verses 21 to 26, we hear about two disciples who are very active in telling about the activity of God in their life. It says in verse 21 from Acts 14 that after the disciples had proclaimed the good news to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, and then on to Iconium, and then on to Antioch. There they strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them to continue the faith, saying to them, "It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God." And after that, they appointed elders of each church, praying and fasting with them and entrusting in them the Lord to who they had come to believe. And then these two disciples went on to pass through Pisidia and Pamphylia, and there they spoke on the word of God and went on to Perga and Attalia, and then also back to Antioch. We see they went through all these cities, seven cities total, and I'm not even sure, honestly, if I'm pronouncing them right, but we see in just this short scripture passage that these two disciples went and they were active. They went from city to city to city, making disciples and telling about God's love. We must be active like these disciples, and of course I don't expect you to now then go out and to travel to seven different cities. I guess we could if we decided to. We really, you know, out adventurous. We could go to Chinatown, then we could move on to Alhambra, and then Monterey Park, and then Montebello, and then go up to San Gabriel, and then to Rosemead, and maybe finally end in South Pasadena with all those nice tree-lined homes. We could probably go city to city. But the city that you must go to be active in telling, the location you must go to, is where the people are, that person is, that needs to know about God. Maybe you're thinking of a coworker, so then the place that you would go to is the parts of your job. Sitting next to the coworker at their desk, talking to the coworker in the lunchroom, or taking a walk with the coworker before or after work. These are your cities, these are your location. If it's a classmate, there's different parts of the school or places in school or times at school that you can talk to them. Or if it's a loved one at a family gathering, this becomes your location, your city that you must travel to be active in telling about God's presence in your life. Now, you might think, oh, well, that's a little bit hard to do. I'm not sure how to do it. And as you know, I love the TV show Fresh Off the Boat. And if you happen to watch this past week's episode, it was great. It was evangelism. And do you know who of the family, the Fresh Off the Boat family, did the evangelism? It was Evan, the youngest son, maybe 8, 9, or 10 years old. He did evangelism. The episode starts off great where Evan and his mom, Jessica, I think she is dropping him off or picking him up from school. And in front of them, there is a car that has the bumper sticker, WWJD. And Evan says to his mom, "What does that mean?" And she's not really sure. And her name is Jessica. So she says, maybe it means, "What would Jessica do?" Right? Because she's a very type A Asian mom who always gets her way and always has things ordered. But Evan and his mom are very excited because she just got Costco membership cards. So in the episode, they go to Costco and it becomes their weekly Sunday tradition. And Costco is less crowded on Sundays because people are at church. They love Costco on Sundays. They talk to a certain woman who always gives out the free food samples. They sit in the beanbag chairs. They're standing there reading books. They're getting eggs, and the eggs get smashed, and they go back and secretly put those smashed eggs back and take out new eggs. They're trying big bins of food and bringing it home, and they have a great trip, and it becomes their weekly thing of just for Evan and his mom, Jessica, to go to Costco. But one Sunday, Evan says, "I don't want to go to Costco, Mom. My friend, the very friend whose bumper sticker said WWJD, invited me to church." And Evan goes to church, and his mom, in a more maybe Buddhist or not really any church Christian background, doesn't go with him, but she lets her son go, and she misses him. So it shows her at Costco. She's really sad. She's having a hard time lugging the cart by herself. She's trying the free food samples but not enjoying it. She's reading the book, and then she wants to show her son, but he's not there because he's in church. And she gets really sad, but she has this kind of conversation with the free food lady that says it's more important to be with your son. So she goes to church. She doesn't physically go into the church, but she stands outside the church. And she asks her son, why do you like this church? And he tells her, oh, the pastor's message. Or, oh, my friend says there's this cool thing about Sunday school that I can go to. Or, oh, I like being with all these people. So in a way, this young boy is evangelizing to his mother, and she commits to going to church, or at least being outside of church with him each Sunday. So I love when you think about that even a young boy can evangelize to his mother, personal evangelism, one-on-one, telling him what he likes about church. And he himself was evangelized to by the invitation of his friend. And we never see his friend. We see the friend's station wagon with the WWJD bumper sticker. But he was evangelized to as well by a young friend. We can do that. We can be active. We can reach out to people to tell them about God, to invite them to church, to do personal evangelism. And it won't be traveling to city to city to city as these two disciples were in this passage from Acts I just read, but it'll be going to location, wherever that person is that we know needs God in their life, and talking to them, whether it's the neighbor, whether it's a coworker, the classmate, or even the family member. We must be active and not be just still or silent like the rose is, but be active in telling about the activity of God in our lives. And then when we look at that second part of the active telling of the activity in God of our life, we focus on the activity part. When we tell about God, as I've said before, we can't just say, God is awesome, or God is great, or God is wonderful. We need to say why God is great, why God is awesome, why God is wonderful, how God has helped you. To be very specific, God is awesome because he helped me find this church family. God is wonderful because when I was sick and I prayed and people prayed for me, God healed me. We must be telling about how God is active in our life. Jesus himself always told people about how wonderful God is and how God gives people love and mercy. And he says in a passage about his own relationship with God in John 15, verses 1 to 2. In John 15, verses 1 to 2, Jesus tells about God. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Jesus is telling, he is doing personal evangelism. He's telling about the activity of God in his life. He said God removes every branch in him that bears no fruit, and God prunes to make it bear more fruit. If you know about fruit and gardening, you know that you must actively care for a plant for it to grow and for it to flourish. You must remove the branches that are bad, and you must prune them down and shorten them so they can bear more fruit. God is a gardener that takes care of us, and Jesus is telling about that wonderful thing, how God prunes and removes the bad things from him and helps him to grow and be transformed. So when you tell about how God is active in your life, think about why it is so important that God has helped you and been active in your life. Because we say that God has transformed us, and we may not even be aware of it, but God does transform us. And when I talk about transformation, we look and we see in the scriptures, in the Bible, there are so many wonderful stories of transformation, of conversion, of someone who was a certain way before God and someone who was a different way after God. And in this morning's this first passage I read from this morning from Acts 14, we hear of the two disciples that are traveling from city to city to city to make new disciples, to tell about people about the good news. Those two disciples were Barnabas, but the second one was Paul. And Paul, if you remember and know of his life, was known previously as Saul. He himself was transformed. He himself was pruned. He himself was groomed by God. He was transformed. God removed the bad things in his life and pruned him so that he could be a faithful disciple that helped grow so many churches. If you remember a few Sundays ago, we read about Philip who reacted after the death of Stephen. We know in the passage that was read a few Sundays ago from Acts 8, verses 1 to 8, that Saul, who later became Paul, but Saul at that time approved of the killing of disciple Stephen. That day they say that severe persecution began in the church and that all the apostles scattered throughout the countryside. devout men buried the Apostle Stephen and made loud lamentations over sadness of his death. But they say that Saul was ravishing the church, and he was entering house after house after house, dragging both men and women out and committing them to prison because they were believers. Saul was a persecutor of Christians, but he changed. And in this morning's passage, we see the beginning of his change, of how he was transformed, about how God was active in his life. We know that Saul was still, in this morning's passage, he was still, they say, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He even, they say, went to the high priest in the synagogues, and he asked for permission to go to get the men and women and bring them back for trial to Jerusalem. But they say that one day, as he was traveling back, going to Damascus, a major city of that time, that suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul asked, "Who are you?" And the reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they also heard the voice, but saw no one. And they say that Saul got up from the ground after he had been blinded by the light, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So the men he was with led him by the hand to Damascus, and for 3 days he was there without sight, and he was not able to eat or drink. Saul is beginning to experience his own transformation, God being active in his life and helping him to realize what his true call is. God is removing the badness away from him. In being blind, Saul is no longer able to go into homes and drag men and women out just because they believe in God. Saul is not able to anymore drag them into the major cities to be put on trial or to be imprisoned or even be put to death. Saul instead is being pruned. He is having the sins of his bad actions in the past taken away from him so that he may be pruned to bear more fruit. And we know what Saul does because we see later in passages of Acts all the places he goes to when he has this great conversion and realizes he needs God in his life and that Jesus Christ died for his sins. He knows what it means to have God active in his life. And I hope you learn or understand what it means to have God active in your life. So then you can then go and tell that loved one, that coworker, that classmate, that person that needs God in their life as well. As you first actively tell them about the activity of God in your life. And next week we'll talk about listening to the spiritual needs of that person. And also in following weeks, we'll talk about praying regularly for that person, sharing the gospel, and the final and most wonderful reward of leading that person to the desire to surrender one's life to God. We are all called to do that, to do personal evangelism. We do corporate evangelism well, as I've always shared. We have the wonderful United Methodist Women and the children's choir and the Sunday school programs, and even our retreat is a fun way to evangelize and reach out to people sometimes. But we need to learn how to do better personal evangelism, to reach out to that person that hopefully you were able to come up with in the 15 seconds that I gave you earlier, so that we can gather a fellowship of friends, the people that we can reach out to, and to never be alone in our walk and our faith journey. For we know that was one of the great things that Jesus Christ himself did. He knew his ministry. He knew what he was on earth for, but he didn't do it alone. Jesus went and approached the disciples one-on-one or one and two of them and told them to put down their nets and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He was doing personal evangelism with these persons and then they went out and did corporate evangelism. But it starts with personal evangelism and personal evangelism starts with you today as well. Let us pray. Lord, we know that you have called us the way that you have created us as your sons and daughters to share the good news. So thankful for the love and mercy we receive through your Son, Jesus Christ, but accept the challenge that we now must also share about your love and mercy with the people in our lives that do not yet have a relationship with you, Lord. For we know that helping them to understand you, Lord, and to accept you into their life, Lord, also helps us to draw closer to you. To remember the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, But we must not be silent, we must not be passive, but we must instead be active. Active in telling of the activity of you in our life, Lord, so that we can continue to spread the good news to the world. Amen. We enter now in the time of communion together, and if we could have the microphone as well. Just as Jesus sat down with the disciples, his group of fellowship that he had personally evangelized to, we today as disciples sit together and will share the bread and wine juice. Hear these words of invitation for Holy Communion. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today, his family in all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts, in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ is died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. We invite you to come forward as you are able to receive the bread and the juice. We will come to those who are not able to come forward. And this Sunday, we also are taking a special mission offering Sunday to go to the National Chinese Caucus, a new church startup fund. So if you would like to contribute to that, we have the special offering plates there as well. Come forward as you are able.
Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, and he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes, and his grace is an ocean we're all sinking. Heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Blaze, drawing close. Oh. holy place now invades the human soul. Wide awake, unashamed in your light, by your grace, boldly run to your side.
Let us pray. Gracious and amazing God, we thank you again for this time of worship and fellowship together, especially as we take in communion and remember your Son who was given on the cross for us. His body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us so that we may receive your love and mercy. And Lord, we ask that we may forever remain faithful to you as we pray together the Lord's Prayer that was taught to us by your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
As we continue with our service at this time, now it's time for offering. Can I ask the ushers to come forward?